January the 30th, 1971. On that day, my life changed, and it changed drastically. And so did Gail's. It changed because of an event that took place in this building. Some of you will recognize that is the old Hendrick Hospital here in Abilene, Texas. Doesn't look the same today with all the additions and all the expansion that they have done. But on January the 30th, 1971, we drove to Hendrick Hospital and Gail gave birth to our first baby, our son. We named him Trent Leslie Brown. My dad's middle name was Leslie. And he was 6 pounds and 4 ounces. And life changed dramatically. You know, for the first 21 years of my life, I was pretty much thinking about me. Then I married, and for about 4 years, I was thinking about Gail and me. And we had freedom. And then January the 30th, 1971, freedom ended. This morning, on this special day, and this is a special day, it's on Sunday, it's always a special day for those of us who are a part of this spiritual family. The opportunity to be together with our brothers and our sisters, sort of our spiritual moms and dads. But this is a special day, a special Sunday, because it is Father's Day. And I've noticed this morning there are a lot of fathers in this room. And there are a lot of you who are sitting close to a man who has had a big impact in your life. I'm just looking at the pies and I'm thinking, you're just a few weeks away from the experience that we had. And so this morning there are a couple of things that I want to really emphasize. Two main points. When I left Hendrick Hospital on that day in 1971, I realized that the future of this 6 pound, 4 ounce baby, his future was completely in our hands. I realized that his future depended upon us. And so, the first point that I want to make this morning, before I make that first point, I was looking for an infant picture of Trent, and I couldn't find an infant picture, and so I was searching, and this is a picture I found when he was the oldest brother of the two who came along after him. Now, I think that is one of these church directory pictures, and what was funny to me was that we had two separate pictures, and the second one, his little sister Tally was a little distracted. I don't know if it was mom or dad who was over there talking to her, telling her to smile. But by the way, Trent is 45 years old now, which is hard to believe. I want to show you one other picture because about 4 years later, we came to Abilene, Texas. We were not we were living in Lubbock at that time, but we came to Abilene, Texas. And that is a picture that someone took the first time that we saw Tori, the little boy we were adopting, when we saw him in the airport. And they caught the expressions. Believe it or not, that is Gail and Terry Brown up there. But the kids, you can see their wonderment as they're looking at this little kid that we're going to be taking home with us. I think Tally is thinking, hey, I'm the baby. You're not taking this kid home with us. But having children Being a parent is life-changing. And so point number one today is this. Go ahead, Scott. Fatherhood, parenthood is a wonderful God-given blessing. It's one of the greatest privileges in our lives. But all of us realize it's not just a great privilege to have a child and to be able to care for that child and nurture that child. It is a tremendous responsibility because they are so helpless. And for many years, they are completely dependent upon us. In the Psalms, there is this passage. It's found in Psalm 127. Sons, it says, and I added, and daughters. Sons and daughters are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. You think about what it's like when you first become a parent. And that feeling really is indescribable. If for a few months when you're expecting to have that baby, Pies, I'll talk to you, because I know you're not too long from having that baby. For a few months as you're expecting that baby, you think about how joyous it's going to be and what that experience is going to be like. But then when the baby is actually here, something tangible that you hold in your arms, it's an indescribable kind of a feeling. And I think the idea that we are molding this child, we are shaping this child. This child is like an empty slate, and we are writing onto their hearts the things that they're going to value. They're going to see in us our values. They're going to see in us demonstrated our attitudes. They're going to see the viewpoints that we have. They're just going to see it because they live with us day after day. And much more than just feeding and clothing a baby and being responsible for a child and its growth, their personalities, their beliefs are influenced and impacted by us. And so number one today, I want us just to think about what a great blessing it is to be a parent, a mother, or a father. I want us to think not only about what a great blessing it is, privilege, but also what a great responsibility. There are several men in this congregation whose names came to my mind to do this next thing. And I could have selected many. But I've asked one of our elders, one of my fellow elders, Dwayne Houston, who I know is a loving father, to come and lead a prayer at this time for us as a congregation.
Thank you for the gift of being a parent. And I pray, Lord, that you will be with those, us as parents and grandparents, that we may be the kind of parents that you would have us to be to each individual child, because we know that they are all so different. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us, and help us as parents to be a conduit of your love to our children. We thank you, and we pray all these things through the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen.
So number one, being a parent, being a father, being a mother is a great blessing, a wonderful God-given blessing, both a privilege and a responsibility. Number two, It strikes me as very important that when God reveals Himself to humanity, one of the most used examples that He uses is that of being a father, the heavenly Father. And so the ideal, the pattern for us as earthly fathers, those of us who are fathers here today, is God Himself. He is revealed, or He has revealed Himself to us as a father. I thank Otis for being extremely flexible as a song leader, worship leader, because he changed the song just before the sermon. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. And of course, as Dwayne mentioned in his prayer, the vastness of God's love, the depth of God's love, is primarily demonstrated in the sacrifice of His own Son on our behalf. And so we understand that God is a loving Father, a Father who loved His Son but was willing to sacrifice His Son because He loves us. We are His children. There are passages, I picked out three passages which emphasize the nature of God as a Father. The first one comes, I selected, from 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, John the Apostle says, it's sort of like how great the Father's love for us. He says, "See what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. God is a Father. The second text that I picked is from Hosea chapter 11. And it goes back to the Old Testament days of Israel. And through the prophet Hosea, God expresses how His relationship with Israel was that of a father and a son. He says, He reminds the Israelites, "When Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son." Israel was God's child, God's son, and He was their father. And the third text that I picked is one that all of us are familiar with, the prodigal son story that Jesus tells, the parable of the son who leaves his home and goes into a far country and spends his father's inheritance, the inheritance that he had received. He wastes it until he finds himself in desperate situation and he wants to go back home. He plans his trip home. He plans his sentence speech. He's going to say to his father, "Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. I no longer want to be treated as a son. Just take me back as a hired servant." But we all remember that striking ending to that parable. While this boy, while he was a long way off, his father, who is representative, of course, in this story, representative of God, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. That's an amazing sentence there. That's an amazing little phrase. He ran to his son. I mean, he could have barred the doors to his house. He could have said, "Son, you're no longer my son. You are disinherited for what you have done." But instead, it says, he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. He said to the servants, "Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. But the image that Jesus wanted those who heard this parable, the image that he wanted them to see, was an image of what the Heavenly Father is like. In spite, as Dwayne mentioned in his prayer, in spite of the fact that we are unworthy, as the song that we sang about how great His love for us refers to us being wretches, in spite of the fact that we are sinful people, God loves us. And He is desirous of receiving us into His arms. He wraps us in His arms. And so it is, to me, it is striking to think today, on Father's Day, as a father, and as I look out at many, many other fathers, it is striking to me to think that this role that we play in this life, this role that we have with our children, and then later with our grandchildren when we become grandfathers, that this, the image of what this role is to be is demonstrated to us by God Himself. He's the Heavenly Father. And so, in 1971, when I began being a father, when I was able to take that first little boy home and then others followed, it became incumbent upon me to be the kind of father in which my children could see the Heavenly Father. I hope today those young men and even young boys who are sitting here who will someday be fathers. You'll grow up and you'll be fathers yourselves. You'll no longer be the child. I hope you start to think about the kind of father that you want to be. And I hope it is the image of God as the Heavenly Father that inspires you to be the kind of father that you will be. That you will display before your children. That you will incorporate into your marriage with your wife the kind of qualities that we see in God Himself. That is a worthy father. One who seeks to be like God. And so today, as you go, maybe with your family, some of you have the opportunity to be with family members. As you go with them and spend time with them today, I hope, number one, you'll be thankful for the blessing of being a father, and mothers, for the blessing of being a parent. But also remain fully aware of the great responsibility that comes with it. And secondly, I hope that you'll think about, where do we get the image of a father from? It's from God, the Heavenly Father. You noticed the words in that little video at the beginning with the Hoyts, Rick and Dick Hoyt, which is, to me, always an inspiring little video to watch. The love of that father for his son, and the love of the son for his father. You notice that the words that were used in the song were the very familiar words, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Well, God is referred to in Scripture in many ways. He is called, Jesus is called our Redeemer, but God is called our Redeemer as well. He is called our Savior. And so this morning, as this lesson comes to a close, we extend an invitation. There may be some need this morning for fathers and mothers to recommit yourself to this wonderful, blessed task that we have received. There may be a need for you to repent of something in your life and realize that we have a Father who receives us with open arms when we come back to Him. So as we sing this song of invitation in just a moment, if you desire the prayers of your fellow Christians here, or if today there is someone here who is not a Christian and you're ready to put on Christ in baptism, we offer you this opportunity to respond while we stand together and sing this invitation song.